first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's not necessarily afternoon to you. Good day to whatever time you're listening to the podcast. This is smooth. Podcast. Thank you very, smooth as always. I think smooth is our trademark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Professionalism.
Exactly. We are professionals. Absolutely. Not at doing podcasts.
I actually had a little look at iTunes.
It's an interesting review process.
It's a wonderful review process. But our category is actually professional.
Really? Is it?
Really? I think that needs to be changed.
Yeah. Well, the last reviewer on there wasn't too complimentary, was he? I can't remember what he said, but I enjoyed it. We had some
good ones and bad ones.
There were some past ones. I think some of them might have been Simon Head with several different names.
It also said, there's not been enough reviews to give it a rating out of 5 yet.
No. Well, if you're listening, and we do have loyal listeners because they tweet, they Facebook us all the time.
Yeah.
Go onto iTunes if you can and just do us a little review and we'll mention it on the show.
Yeah. Any of the three of you would be great.
If you all do it, that's free reviews.
Come on, Mum, it's my birthday of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we are on show number 82. I've got Dan Silver with me.
Hello.
I've got Sean Miller with me,
Hello. Whose
name I nearly forgot then. Michael Coxon is here as usual.
Right.
Jerome Mundell is here.
Hello.
Myself, Jim Summers, is here. Stuart might be joining us later, we don't know.
Definitely.
But Stuart Hall might be down. He's a Stuart Hall. I'm going to sit and get fatter at my desk eating food.
There's more chance of Dan Ferdinand turning up.
Well.
Two of our three listeners probably have remembered Dan.
That's very true. Right, fellas, who watched playoff games?
Let's
cut straight to the gym.
I watched the penalties.
Yeah. Huddersfield. You got about the best of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I spoke to a Huddersfield fan afterwards who stayed in a hotel in Crystal Palace. I think a lot of people do that when they come down for Wembley games, thinking that London's all quite close together, not realising that Crystal Palace is the.
Why would a lot of people stay at Crystal Palace? That even doesn't make sense.
No, they stay somewhere miles across London.
I thought you meant they stay in Crystal Palace. Yeah.
No. There's a big hotel there and people go
just
there.
One?
Yeah, just
that's
one.
Why they go there.
It's a lovely Sainsbury's, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a nice thing.
Attached to the ground. The Sainsbury's end.
Yeah.
So what did he make of it?
He said, don't bother watching any of it up until the penalties, so I didn't.
Well, have you seen the news this morning? Sheffield United have released
Simonson.
Yeah,
that's so harsh.
I know, apparently it was on the cards anyway. Although if he'd scored that penalty and saved...
So basically,
and Chad Evans, but that wasn't really a surprise.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in the naughty boys bit.
If anyone doesn't know that he's listening abroad or whatever, it was the League One playoff final, Huddersfield versus Sheffield United, 0-0 at end of full time, 0-0 at end of extra time. Huddersfield had a few chances, had a couple cleared off the line, and I think Doyle, the guy who used to be at Coventry, had a couple of chances.
Okay.
Went to penalties. Go on.
Annoyingly, one of our listeners did. I can't remember his name. Sorry. Did tweet to me.
Ryan,
yeah, you're right. Boy Silver should have stuck to his original.
Did I
actually say 8-7 on pens?
No,
I don't think you said 8-7.
You said something ridiculous.
I did something like 9-8 or something. So I said something very, very close and gutted that I actually changed my prediction.
Well, he will laugh at you for doing it. Yeah. Anyway, the penalties themselves are worth talking about because Huddersfield missed their first three.
Yeah.
They were 1-0 down after three penalties each. Then they scored, then Sheffield United missed as well. So after eight penalties, only two had been scored. And six of them. Yeah, it was.
They want to sign some of them players from the African Cup of Nations final.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But what was interesting, after that, the penalties got a lot better. Jordan Rhodes took the sixth penalty for Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Very strange that he wasn't in the top five.
I'd be disappointed if I was a Huddersfield fan that he was waiting so long. I don't know if they were thinking.
I don't know if he was waiting.
Maybe as a wild card, or maybe they had so many people who wanted to
take
it.
It's always, you'd love to know the inside info on the pitch side when penalties are being decided.
Torres for the Chelsea.
For me, a striker should be stepped forward. Because I understand it's all about confidence with penalty shots. That's why Carragher took one for England in 2006 and subsequently missed it.
Because he said,
I'll take one.
Yeah.
for me, a striker should be the first one going. Especially I score goals for a living.
But then again, it might not have been his opinion.
Maybe
because
not.
In these day and age, so many people, like we heard about Czech studying hours and hours of, of, they might know that Simonsen has studied John Rhodes taking penalties. Might not.
A double bluff, a classic double bluff.
For me, though, I think you can study penalties all you want, right? And you'd assume that people are studying penalties. So if you are a goal scorer, you're playing at League One level, right? You have got a fair old bit of ability as a football player, right?
Yeah.
If you normally put them bottom right, put it top left. I just think you've got that ability as a striker, especially a goal. Yeah. You think, mix it up.
Don't change your mind.
You've got to wonder as well, did Sheffield United know that Huddersfield knew that Sheffield United knew that Jordan Rhodes would be taking his penalty there? Maybe they were
very
maybe he
point.
Didn't study Jordan Rhodes and that's why he scored his penalty. I won't bother, I'm just going to do the defenders and maybe the goalkeeper.
It's a murky one. They took 10 penalties each and then the 11 penalties came down and the Alex Smithers, is it the Huddersfield goalkeeper? Yeah. Local lad, he scored his and Steve Simmons has stepped up and blazed it over.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for him. He went in front of the turf. He just went to his knees, basically face planted himself. He's got all these Huddersfield fans celebrating around him because it was a Huddersfield end. None of the Huddersfield players went up to him. No. I thought the keeper might. I know it's different, but the keeper might just go up to him. They did afterwards. They were showing him going up to him, but I would have felt really bad for him, to be honest, because he saved quite a few in the shootout as well. Right, moving on to Cheltenham versus Crewe. Anyone watch it?
I've seen a lot of it. Yeah, I actually have a story about that. I was born in Crewe, so I have
great story.
Endearing to them. no, obviously, friends and family work with quite a few Crewe fans. One of which took his young son to go and watch the game. Blazing hot day. Didn't think about it. Didn't have any caps. Didn't have any protection. Walked past where they were selling the caps outside. £10. Thought, I won't bother. It won't be too bad. Got towards the same thought. Fuck it. Went back. £15. They grazed the caps. How tight. You must have seen him coming. That is business for you. Terrible. Yeah. But no, what a go by young Nick Powell.
This is it. I take full responsibility for pointing Nick Powell out to the podcast.
Future Manchester season. Well, Alex Ferguson was listening.
What?
Yeah.
None of you had heard of him.
I'd heard of Nick Powell.
You'd heard of Nick Powell.
He broke through into the team last season.
The start of this season. Hang on. Sean, you'd heard of Nick Powell before the start of this season.
I
can dig out the podcast where I first mentioned
him. I have to say, I'd heard of him because I've got a friend called Nick Powell who's a massive Man City fan, hates Manchester United. So I'm going to be delighted when he signs for us and I can say Nick Powell plays for Manchester United.
Fair enough. Anyway, has anyone seen the goal?
I heard it was a 21 goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really good goal. In terms of technique, really nice touch, laid up for himself and put it into the top right hand corner. But and he is my standout performance of the week as well, because to do that on the big stage, obviously he's been courted by Man United, he's probably the most looked at player on the whole pitch, and to actually step up and do that, and he didn't win it on his own. They actually rode their luck quite a lot against Cheltenham, and in the winger, I can't remember his name, got the second goal with a nice little effort as well.
Yeah.
But to do that on the big stage, where everyone watching that game will be thinking, oh, I wonder what this guy's like, because a lot was said about him in the week. So fantastic for him.
So that was your performance of the week?
That was mine. And Crewe, the run they were on was absolutely ridiculous. They were right down the bottom, like midway through the season, and they just went on a juggernaut of a run and just didn't stop. So they definitely deserved it as well, because they played bloody good football.
I have to say, going through Wembley afterwards, there was still a lot of Cheltenham and Crewe fans around it, and it was a very friendly
atmosphere.
Should have
seen it in Crystal Palace.
Oh yeah, Palace was full of
buzzing.
But it was a very friendly atmosphere, which is always nice to see. I mean, fans intermingling. There may have been trouble.
See,
Panorama
should have done a special on that.
Yeah.
The Cheltenham versus Crewe aftermath.
Panorama
I'm surprised Panorama didn't contact me for an interview, to be honest.
Exactly.
Well, this is it, right. All right, let's clear this up first. Performance of the week. There's not much to go on, but what have we got?
Huddersfield
from Jay. Dan?
I'm going slightly rogue. I'll just talk about it very briefly. Did anyone else watch Soccer Aid?
Are you going to go with Teddy Sheridan?
I'm going to go for Serge Pizzorno. For that first goal, magnificent. He's the lead guitarist of Kasabian.
Okay.
And And he's actually been on, this clip I'm going to put up as well on the site, and I will do it. He was on Soccer AM. I'm not sure how long ago it was.
Must have been about 2007.
It must have been a while ago. And it's It's when they, you know, they what's it called? When
the way, they do it in the car park. Yeah. Yeah. Go to Wembley.
Yeah. 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 And his one,
Stan Collymore's dog in charge.
Yeah. His one, he's flicked it up and volleyed it through.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And then just walked off.
And he did almost the same thing. And he's scored an absolute wonder.
I was
going
to say, so what did he do this weekend? Was it the game at Newcastle? I wasn't
around. Old Trafford.
Old Trafford. Okay. He's been played in.
Like Ralph Little and all those sort of players.
Jonathan Wilkes.
I think you're fine though. My favourite, Mike Myers and Will Ferrell up front. That is a deadly combination.
They played?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
First time they played together.
60 minutes.
First time they played together since Austin Powers.
Where did he play up front?
Who?
Up front. Yeah. I suppose he didn't play the anchor man role.
Just in front of
the events. Who's having that, you mug?
Dive Tilsley during a game after he said
got shocked he is by that anchorman game.
Clive Tilsley went nice pass there from Will Ferrell. I don't know if you've heard, but he's kind of a big deal. You legend.
Brilliant.
And when Serge scored the absolute beauty, he got played in down the left channel, just inside the box, and he's just sort of bent it over and sort of chipped Bender over David Seaman to the top right hand corner. Yeah. Wonderful goal. And Clive Tilsley's gone, he's on fire.
It was, do you know what, for
a Sunday evening, it is wonderful viewing because it's a bit of football and some great banter as well. I tell you, what's his name, the comedian, Liverpoolian comedian?
John Bishop.
Hit an absolute rasper from 25 yards.
He was a semi-pro, I think he was at Northwich Vicks for a while.
He hit an absolute scream from 25 yards, which just tipped round the right-hand post. Right. It was brilliant.
Who tipped you round?
Van der Sar. Sorry, I thought that was insane. Van der Sar.
I can't imagine the Czech Republic would be too happy about that. Just come to the Champions League. Yeah, we'll give him a couple of weeks off. What's he doing at Old Trafford?
But Teddy Sheringham absolutely flooring Aaron Ramsey. What am I doing? Gordon absolutely leathered him. And earlier in the game, the right back who was playing for England, what's his name? Ben Shepherd, had absolutely taken out Ramsey as well. Ramsey got an absolute battering.
Ramsey's had a football nightmare.
He went off. He went off having oxygen, didn't he, on the stretcher?
Honestly,
yeah. He's hospital.
Right, okay. So explain the Teddy Sheringham.
This is brilliant. It is amazing. So he's taken what? he's taken one touch, right?
And the ball just. I thought you were joking, like the Boris Johnson like clip. That was just funny. Set the scene. Give me this, because I.
So it's on the halfway line, right? The ball's been played back to Gordon Ramsey. He's taken a touch. It's bounced a little bit high, and Teddy Sheringham's come storming in.
I'm surprised that, because he was a good player, wasn't he?
Yeah, come in, absolutely taken out his standing leg, and just clattered him, and he's gone down the heap. But the brilliant thing, as he's on the deck, he's done it, got up, and he slapped him in the face and sort of like giving him a little like poke in the nose and in the eye as he's got up as well.
I'd say Teddy Sheringham hasn't moved that fast since the 2004 Miss England contest when him and Danielle Lloyd nicked off backstage.
It was honestly, it was a terrible chat, and he had got carried off the pitch with oxygen.
He's had a knee problem, I think he's like done his ACL.
And who else?
He's going to be out for at least the next 10 months.
Who else done him as well? Before that,
Ben Shepherd, the presenter.
I know it's embarrassing when Ben Shepherd.
Yeah. So, what did he do to it?
Hardly chop her out.
Again, just a complete. He's gone around, he sort of nicked it past him, showed a little bit of pace, and Ben Shepherd has just come in and just taken him out. He's gone about 3 feet up in the air.
That's brilliant. Who's your actual. I might have changed mine to Gordon Ramsay as that performance. Just for comedy
it's
performance.
It's going to be Serge for the goal against David Seaman. All completely right. Did him.
Serge, we'll have that. Shall we?
Going to go Switzerland, I know Germany, without all their Bayern players, but particularly, let me get this name right, Erin Derdiok, hat-trick in their 5-3 win against Germany.
See, I was talking about him earlier in the season, and I bet none of you had heard
exactly.
Of Erin Derdiok.
Erin Derdiok.
Mike?
I was going to go for
the
power.
Sorry, why?
Switzerland beat Germany 5-3.
He scored a hat-trick.
It's what the Germans do. They make everyone think, oh, they're not that great, and then they just be brilliant in the bloody Euros.
Yeah. I was going to go for Nick Powell, and I'm quite tempted to go for Engelbert Humperdinck, but I think I'll go for the USA.
humbled it. If he won Eurovision, is it true that Spurs would have been out of the Europa League? And Engelbert Humperdinck would have taken their place. Mike's laughed at that one.
I like that one.
I'll give you that one.
So who are you going for?
I'll go for the USA beating Scotland 5-1, an absolute hammering in Jacksonville. To be fair, I'm sure.
Didn't they play Wales?
No, Mexico played Wales. And
I knew they were out there as well.
Absolutely hummered Scotland. Scotland, they had a few players missing, and obviously it's a different time here. USA, they've only just started their season compared to Scotland being at the end, but it's just so one-sided, it was ridiculous.
Did you watch it?
I've seen the majority of it, yeah.
I quite like that. Anyone beating Scotland, thrashing them, gets my vote as well. So,
I thought, speaking of international friendlies,
yes,
I thought it's fair to. Is it still happening? Goal line technology in the Belgium game.
Yes, it is.
Well, it is, but it's not actually going to be affecting the game. There's a decision, you won't know about it. They're just testing it out.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not going to be. It's not going to be linked up to the officials.
Right. Okay.
So when Eden Hazard knocks it over the line and then tweets about it, we won't know about it.
He has done my head in the last few days, hasn't he?
Moving on, he was the subject of our Naughty Boys of the Week last week. Naughty Boys of the Week. Sean, you emailed me something and I didn't
I've got an absolute blinder and I hope it's not
Gary O'Connor.
We will say quickly, Ched Evans getting released. Obviously, that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a damning indictment or.
No. Has he been found guilty yet?
He's in jail for five years.
So what completely solid Sheffield United season up, to be honest, because they look like we're getting before. Sean, you emailed me something. I like the fact that Naughty Boys of the Week has now become our biggest section. We never used to do them before, but go on, Sean. It was Gary O'Connor, right?
Who says footballers are stupid? Yeah. He got caught with a few mates in a car passing around a bag of white powder and a rolled up piece of paper. He got out from the car. He was taken out by the police. The police asked him what his name was, and he said he was called Mr. Johnston. He asked him how you spell Johnston, and he spelt it J-O-S, realised he made a mistake, and then ran away. Apparently they found him 300 metres down the road.
Found him? Couldn't they have just watched him? They found him. They called him the guy.
In a wheelie bin.
Yeah, helicopters and all sorts. But yeah, he was out of breath.
300 metres.
Not very fit, is he?
Exactly. And
So has he actually got done for anything?
Well, they tested the items that are taken from him and from the car, and it was cocaine.
We'd already failed a drug test when they had the Panorama last year. He was the footballer.
So what police service was that, do you know?
I think it was Strathclyde.
They were in the news already because their toilet was actually nicked. At the moment they've got nothing to go on. I should have left it. All right. Yeah. All right, Dan.
Yeah. You're going to love this. All right. This actually came out just as I was leaving the office.
Okay.
Through Simon Head, but through my local paper back in Brighton, the Argus.
Good paper.
Steve Evans. Has been arrested on... on question of... exposing himself to a woman during the Bradford game on March 27th, when there was a massive brawl.
The Bradford brawl.
Yep. Supposedly, Steve Evans Flasher. he's been investigated into indecent exposure to a woman during the game.
He's got enough flesh to flash as well. He's a horrible,
you would not
horrible
want to see that,
toad
would you?
Of a man.
No.
Whilst we're talking about Steve Evans, I've got. Look, they played. He's now at Rotherham United.
Yeah.
They played Northampton on their last league game of the season, and his quote was, "Northampton didn't have a single effort on goal. The game finished 1-1."
Adebayo, it wasn't a goal, was it?
No, Adebayo Akinfenwa scored with a header at the back post in like the 94th minute, and he came out and he actually said they didn't have an effort on goal all game. Finished 1-1, you moron. But alright,
too busy getting his cock out.
Yeah. I do like that. We'll follow up on that next week as well, if you can keep an eye on that. Any more Naughty Boys?
Well, are we going to
still Hazard? Are you going to still put him into that category?
No, I was going to say Mario Balotelli coming out today and saying he would kill any racist.
I don't think that's a naughty
I don't
boy.
Think it's naughty, but it's controversial. Well.
I think it's legit. Absolutely hilarious. Yeah. It's,
that panorama video was...
We're moving on to the panorama thing. Balotelli was also in the news for stalking a girl as well.
I saw that as well.
I haven't seen that.
He was driving home the other day and he stopped at some lights or whatever, and there was a girl in a Renault Clio. He liked the look of her, so he drove following her, waited till she went into her house, knocked on her door and said, "Can I take you out?"
No.
She was like, "What? No, go
I don't
away."
Know who you are.
And then her uncle came downstairs and went, "That's Mario Balotelli." Invited him in. He came in for 20 minutes and he was talking to her her uncle, who's a Man City fan, and they were just chatting about football. And every now and again he went, "Will you go out with me?" She's like, "No." And then he's talking.
It's true.
Well,
there's pictures and everything of him in the house.
That's true, actually. How much of the actual conversation, how it happened, we don't know. But there is pictures of him in the house.
Needless to say, he's off to Prezzo with the uncle on Friday, so yeah, but he got some out of it.
This girl kept saying no, and eventually said no. But then
eventually she said no.
Well, I thought the article might be, and now I'm going out with him next week, whatever.
I was thinking that
he was with his bird at the time. He's not now.
That was one of the reasons she said no, because it happened a while ago. But it got all the way down to the bottom of the story, and then it said Michelle, whatever his name is shortlisted for this year's X Factor. So it's obviously like a publicity thing as well. How much are you into it? But there we go.
But what is just going on to that? Anyone know exactly what he said? I mean, it's from a French. It's him an interview with France Football. So you've got to think some of it is lost in translation.
He basically said he'll go to prison.
But he said, if someone throws a banana at me in the street, I'll go to prison because I'll kill him. Racism is unacceptable to me. I cannot bear it. I hope there'll be no problem at the Euros, because if it does happen, I would leave the pitch and go home.
Well, he did it in Italy, didn't he?
He has done it in Italy.
Which I'm...
Fair play.
He's in Italy. He's suffered some horrendous abuse.
From people or from the grass? Everything. Like happened at Man City?
Yeah, no, on his debut as a 15-year-old in the Italian, third division, he was booed by his own fans, coming on as a black man.
Yeah. But
he doesn't lack in confidence, though, does he?
No.
But I think I'm a genius, but not a rebel.
If he walks off, there's two ways of looking at it. Yes, it'll highlight the fact that it's happened and stuff like that, but then again, haven't they kind of won?
Yeah, exactly.
If they do that.
Well,
but
not.
But FIFA, no, UEFA have said that they will abandon games if they see that.
True.
I believe that when I see it.
What would happen then? What would happen if they abandon a game? Where does the result go?
Exactly.
You would hope they'd punish that. If it is a game involving Poland or Ukraine, it can be found that their fans are doing it, or any nation and its fan, their fans, you would hope they'd award a 3-0 victory to the team suffering from it. So it's going to be counterproductive.
Yeah.
I don't know how the problem is proving it.
I mean, if it is neutral fans, obviously there's going to be a lot of Polish and Ukrainian fans. And obviously, as has been highlighted, not all Polish and Ukrainian fans are racist.
No, yeah, but do you know, I read something this morning which I found quite interesting, which I didn't realise. Supposedly... it said even among the national football fraternity, the mood is not one of eagerness, because apparently at the end of the last round of the Polish Ekstraklasa, which I think is Polish season, fans from all teams agreed to present banners with the same strong message against modern football: fuck Euro 2012. And there was fires, there was protests, it just sounds like that the average football fan in Poland is not looking forward.
This is the thing with the Panorama documentary, because obviously what happens out there is deplorable. It's absolutely sick. It's not going to be those fans that go to the games, though, because they're the diehard Wisla Krakow fans who will go and watch Wisla Krakow, or diehard Metalurg Donetsk, or whoever it was. They're going to be the ones who watch their team. They won't necessarily go to games. If they do, then you would hope that now they're going to be so heavy-handed with them, it's ridiculous. Mm.
This is the thing. Did everyone watch the Panorama?
Yeah,
no, I've seen a bit of it.
If you haven't watched it, it's
I've
it's,
seen a lot of
it's well it's worth watching.
It's worth watching, and it's good because they've got Sol Campbell's reaction to it as well. And some of the stuff on there is completely shocking. The fact that they've got the police chief that's basically saying, no, they weren't doing this, they weren't doing that.
They were pointing.
Yeah, exactly. They were pointing at opposing fans rather than doing secrets.
That Hitler, he was always pointing the way to go, wasn't he?
Exactly,
yeah.
One thing I did say, I watched it last night with my housemates. I don't think... The Poles and the Ukrainians have now come out and said, look, this happens in our country, yes, but it's limited. Panorama and the BBC have painted a... an uglier picture than it actually is. I can kind of see what they're saying as well. One thing I would say, I don't think this is a problem in society, yes. But I think the only difference between Poland and Ukraine and the footage they showed is the policing. There was like one policeman walking around when they were doing all, and when the Asians were set upon, there was like
there was a steward who arrived at the end of it,
and they were more just trying to get them away than actually doing anything preventative. And it was completely shocking, and watching it I was just like, Jesus. And you can see Sol Campbell's reactions are exactly the same as what mine were, but I don't see that as being a problem just in Poland and Ukraine. I see that as a policing issue. I believe that there's enough people over here in our country that feel exactly the same. The likes of the National Front. I'm sure if you could go to a Millwall game or a West Ham game and only have one policeman in the stands, the National Front would be at those games, because they know if they go to those games, there's a young audience that, and they were talking about recruiting people for their like far right. They go there because that's where they can pick people
you
up.
You've got idealistic young people who don't have any direction, don't have the best prospects.
And if they could go to a football match and there'd be one steward who's going to let them get away with this and that, I'm sure that those people would infiltrate football again. Because the way we police it, and because the amount of police we've got, the CCTV we've got, the way that the overall fans' attitudes have changed, that's the reason why we don't see that in our football grounds. But I don't think that our country and certain parts of London, for instance, are any different to that part of Ukraine.
Well, I mean, you've only got to look close to helmets. So you go to a Rangers and Celtic game, there's going to be abuse. Tantamount is very different, it's sectarian, but it's going to be the same level. The difference is, you're right, the policing. I do think we're a much more cosmopolitan, much more multicultural society.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never experienced anybody being racist at a game that I've been at. It might be that you just don't notice it. I don't know how widespread it is. But it's still, it's not a problem that's going to be isolated to Poland and Ukraine.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's been so long.
I think that is a serious conversation.
Right? Yeah, that's got to be a record for us, isn't it?
Are you going back to
Jay?
I'm
going to
love it.
You know Robin Van Persie's song, he scores when he wants.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that should now definitely be changed to Mario Balotelli and the City fans singing it, because we have a direct quote from Mario Balotelli. When I decide to score, I score. I know I am strong, but I believe it's not enough yet. I can kick fine, dribble well, but I still have to improve.
All right.
The cops are going to the bar because I have a pint.
You owe him a pint, or you want a pint?
He just got that round and I owe him a pint.
He's not interested, is he? Look, he's just gone straight to the bar. That's a free pint. That's fine.
Yeah,
you got away with that one.
A bit guilty about that, but anyway.
I'll have a cider then. Cheers, mate.
Last naughty boy.
Yep.
We have one more naughty boy. Titus Bramble.
Oh God.
Titus Bramble.
Two separate incidents. Two different women.
Yep. On the same night.
On the same night.
And four counts of sexual assault.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that works. I'm not sure it's two apiece or three and one. The one in the club was pinched my arse.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but
he grabbed it. It wasn't a pinch, it wasn't a little tap. He said he grabbed his
arse. Have you ever grabbed the girl's arse in the club?
Well, Only ones that I know straight away.
Have you ever grabbed a girl's arse cup? Yeah. Backtracking. Ones that I know.
Not a girl.
But the first one. Yes, he grabbed my arse in the club, and then that was it. It's a bit dubious. But the one in the taxi sounds very dodgy, because there's an actual interview in the case, very rapey, the interviews, the case is going on at the moment, and the cab driver's given his evidence as well and basically said that she was
the cab driver. We
took him to
we mentioned it at the time because
he was worried.
A cabbie would be able to recognise between like someone going a bit too far something serious happening, and
I'm here, Mikey.
He took that decision. Mike's gone completely.
I would have got you that one. I was going to go, but
you can buy me another one after this.
Oh. Feel free to take your shoes off, like that guy there. Just a random guy on a date with his shoes off in the pub. Nice.
Eden Hazard, quickly.
Go on.
Back to it. Not so much naughty boy. Chelsea, move to Chelsea. I don't think that's a good move.
No,
I think he's made the wrong move there.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think it's a great move. They're going to play Torres up front as a lone striker, and they'll play him
Matt
and someone else.
Hazard.
Someone else.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they get Hulk as well. But my only thought is,
they need half a new team though, Chelsea.
He's a wide player, Hazard, and they're not a wide team, Chelsea, anymore. They used to be. Had he signed for them in the days
but
of Robin
and
Duff?
I think they'll change that, I think.
They could, yeah. And I mean, I would have loved to see him at United. I think he would have fit into our system great.
I think he would. I think he would have been better at Man United.
I never thought he'd fit in at City, because they don't play like in a wide way. They play in a very narrow passing the ball way. But you know what? Fair play to him. He's made his choice.
I just don't think so.
And he can be the star for Chelsea. That's what he would have had at United as well. Yeah. Rather than going to City, he would have faded in. United or Chelsea, he's now the new hope.
But they haven't actually confirmed it yet, so I might not even have him. That'd be quite funny.
And when he's asked about it, he keeps saying, sorry, I don't speak English.
But you do it right on Twitter, though, don't you?
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is the fact they haven't even got a manager yet. So if a manager comes and doesn't want him or doesn't favour him, what's going
to
happen now?
I mean, to be fair, he is pretty much the hottest prospect in Europe at the moment. Yeah. So most I think you're going to want him.
Well, that's it. You think this transfer saga is bad? Wait until next year when Neymar moves.
I don't think he will, by the way.
I think he will
next summer.
I think he'll stay in Brazil
for the World Cup.
You can't.
No.
You can.
No, but you've got, well, I suppose we'll get into that.
There's a lot of money going into that game.
Into Brazil, that's why. He doesn't need to come over to Europe to earn money. There's loads of money in Brazil.
He probably needs to do it from a personal point of view. Maybe, you're still very young.
He's still very young.
Is he 20 yet?
Just maybe.
Yeah, I think he's 20.
Neymar, yeah.
Maybe he can go and play in Poland. He'd enjoy that, wouldn't he? Jesus. Right, little bit of a Euro 2012 focus for us all, guys. Captain. Gerrard started as captain against Norway, didn't he? I didn't see the game.
He's officially announced as captain.
Okay, who would your picks have been? Gerrard for captain.
No.
And what did you make of Saturday's game? I'd be interested because I didn't watch it. I wasn't around. So if anyone could give me a little.
The goal was great, but apart from that,
I haven't even seen the goal.
What I've heard, it was paint drying. And we didn't learn very much. But I think it's good to just get a win under the belt under Hodgson. Start off on the right foot.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're saying with every New England manager?
Yeah. But it always is. You want your manager to come in immediately. We need to beat Belgium as well, especially because everyone is rating Belgium at the moment as this great up and coming power. But to be honest, it's been similar to that for the last 2 or 3 years, not done much. I think they will be a very good side. I think they'll probably get to the World Cup. They've got Hazard, Dembele, all these players coming through. We need to make sure we get a result there, and then we can really have some positive going. But with half a team, I mean, half the players he played aren't even in the squad.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully, I'm going on Saturday. Hopefully, he plays a team which is a bit more akin to what we're going to line up.
Jack Elker in for Barry. Why?
Makes sense.
I think because he's not doing it.
Position. Jack Yelker apparently played quite well.
And Jack Yelker can play in the holding role.
He can do that as well.
The end command role.
Again, you've got to ask a question of Micah Richards. Why not bring someone in as a defender that can cover both?
Isn't as versatile. He can play centre.
You've got Phil
Jones
to play right back if Johnson got injured.
And Jones can play centre midfield.
Jones to play centre midfield.
Well, yes.
But he's not going to play either, is he? So if there's an injury or suspension, then he'll fit into one of the two.
Well, that's it. Jones can play three positions, so can Jagielka. Richards can play two.
From the look of the squad numbers, you can pretty much ascertain that it'll be Hart in goal, Johnson right back, Terry, Cahill, Ashley Cole, Gerard Lampard, Young, Walcott.
See, I don't think it will be. I think Lampard's got the number 8 because he always wears the number 8. I still think Scott Parker's going to start.
Yeah, I think Scott Parker's
going to start. I think Scott Parker will be in there as well.
If he's fit, he's
I haven't finished saying
it. Come on, man.
Basically, I think it'd be the team that we said it would be. With Parker, Lampard, Gerard, Young, Walcott and Andy Carroll up front.
See, I'm not so sure now. I think that one of Lampard, well, it will be Lampard that is dropped. I think it'll be Parker and Gerard, Rooney, Carroll,
Rooney, when he's
Roy Hodgson has said he will play 4-4-2 when Rooney comes back because he will play two strikers. Yeah. That's what he said. He said it's whether or not
he decides to go with Rooney and Welbeck, who play together at club level, or whether he keeps faith in Andy Carroll.
I think that third game, I think he'll play Carroll and he'll play Rooney, but he won't play Rooney as a traditional forward. I think he'll play him.
Carroll,
So he might say 4-4-2, but it'll still be that 3-1 formation.
He's just counting Rooney as a striker.
Just quickly, guys, because we're going to have to move on because we're running out of time again. Who would your captain be? James, start with you. Would you keep it as Gerrard?
I probably would, yeah, to be fair.
Dan?
I probably would. My only other shout would be Scott Parker, but I don't think he's going to be fit. Different captains.
If he's going to start every game, which it looks like he is, then yeah.
Joe Hart.
Going forward, I'd go for
Joe Hart or Rooney.
Yeah.
I don't think Rooney is a captain.
Well, the thing is, Rooney's matured. My only worry is going forward, he is going to be in the press. He's always going to be hyped.
Rooney can just get on with his job as well. I don't want to give him any sort of captaincy issues. I don't think it should be Gerrard. I think I'd rather have Lampard as captain above Gerrard. I wouldn't have Lampard as my captain.
I wouldn't have Gerrard in the team. But if he's in the team, then
he'd be your captain.
Thing, people talk about Gerrard raising his game in the captaincy. He's never raised his game for England when he's been captain.
Only Liverpool.
Yeah.
My captain would be Scott Parker or Ashley Cole. He's the most consistent.
Ashley Cole's consistent, but I don't think he talks enough on the pitch.
Neither does Scott Parker. I don't think Gerrard does either.
But Parker leads by example from the middle. Ashley Cole does his job perfectly.
I think, especially in the finals tournaments, Ashley Cole is a massive example to everyone
in
that team.
He's the best, but I don't think he has the potential to lift a team. Like, if Scott Parker puts in a great guts and glory
performance,
that can lift a team.
If Ashley Cole was my captain during that Champions League final for Chelsea, the blocks he was putting in, the challenges he was making, that would have inspired me.
Yeah, but he's not in the centre of the park. He's not leading. He's not screaming.
Joe Hart's not in the centre of the park. He was your pick.
No, but Joe Hart's calling from the back. Joe Hart is at the source of all England's.
For me, Ashley Cole is at that age now where he's been there, he's done it all, he's the most consistent player. He's our only good player consistently over the years at every tournament.
He is our only player who, if you're making a World 11, Ashley Cole would probably get in there. Yeah. I mean, Rooney and Hart would be on the outskirts, but Ashley Cole's the only person you could say.
But still, some journalists want Leighton Baines in the team.
Leighton Baines is a great player, but I think
Gerrard would stick on some really uplifting Phil Collins music, get on in the spirit.
Damned if you don't like Phil Collins in the England dressing room.
Right, a quick one. Whilst we're talking about Euro 2012, the team slogans have been announced, which we've been meaning to talk about this for a while, because they got announced a few weeks ago. It was part of...
Got on them all now.
I can't remember which coach company it was. Can anyone remember? There was a competition, and if your slogan was chosen, then this is what's going to be on the side of all the official coaches.
Right.
So when the team turns up at the ground from the hotel, this is going to be on the side of the coach. So I'm just wanting your reaction. Like Croatia, the English translation is "Our pride is our strength."
Nice.
Yeah, quite like that one. Yeah. Czech Republic, you support, we win.
Who wrote that? Borat.
Denmark, Vikings without fear.
I love that.
When did Vikings ever have fear?
Well,
yeah, you're right. That's a bit of an oxymoron, that.
But it should be Vikings without red.
England, one prize. One prize, two countries, three lions.
Oh, that's
great. It took me a while to work out. It's like two countries. Like England.
Are we taking Wales?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you're talking about the host nations. I think that's rubbish. So yeah, whatever 8-year-old did that, you're a twat. France, a new story, a new dream, a shared goal.
Oh, my God.
That's poetic.
I mean, it is poetic, and it is, it's fair, but it's a bit shit.
This is the worst one. And obviously, the translation, Germany, from game to game to the big aim.
I like that.
How have they managed to make it rhyme in English?
I don't know. Greeks born fighters. Not too bad. Right. Like gladiator reference.
To be honest, going back to that German though, it rhymes in German as well. Von Spiel zu Spiel zum Greuchen Spiel.
Good.
Von Greuchen Ziel, sorry.
Right. We'll have more German from Mike Never, hopefully. Italy, let's turn Europe blue.
Are you sure that's not Holland?
Yeah. The Netherlands, 11 lions, millions of fans, together we are strong.
Yeah.
They haven't even got a country of millions of people.
Isn't Holland's...
Poland, together impossible becomes possible. Yeah, it's alright.
Maybe that's rip off.
Portugal, here beat 10 million hearts.
Rubbish.
What? Yeah.
They've probably got their 10 million in the country, I don't know. I'm guessing. Republic of Ireland, talk with your feet, play with your heart.
I quite like that.
I thought that was going to be Thierry Henry inspired. Talk with your feet, play with your hands. And I thought it would have been a bit dodgy.
Russia, play with your soul, fight till the end.
Nice.
Spain, a lesson to live, a reason to dream. Viva España.
No, you've got that right the wrong way around.
A reason to live, a reason to dream. Viva España. Sweden, be there, feel it, catch the dream.
Be there, feel it, catch the dream.
I can imagine there's a few catch Swedish girls going out there. Yeah. Catch the dream.
That's what they call it.
It's
out there.
Very treat. It's very treat.
That what Femen are protesting against.
Yeah. And Ukrainians, finally, Ukrainians, it's our time to be racist more. Apparently. So, right, one other thing. How's everyone's sticker books going?
Good.
Not bad.
Have you started yours, Dan Silver?
I gave
you
one.
No, you
didn't.
I should have done.
You should have didn't even give me one.
Mike, have you got one?
I've got one. I'm about halfway through.
Oh, good work. Good work.
Yeah.
Just another mention on Euro 2012. I'm not sure if you're going to fit this in, but I love it.
sent to us by...
if we're going to fit this in.
Yeah, no, but just a quick
mention. The Shakhtar Donetsk thing.
Yeah.
If you fit it in, you might catch the dream.
Who was it that sent it to us?
I can't remember.
I apologise again. But it's a really, really interesting bit of stats.
Hopefully one of the three listeners that's going to write a review.
Yeah.
Because we've forgotten his name. He might now not
revive. Cheers for sending it in, Mum.
Really sorry, mate. we'll mention you next week, definitely. If the national teams were clubs, the Euro Index, top 25, of how the international teams, on results and stats and everything over the last 20 years, fix up to the club teams. And it's very interesting. The top five of Real
Madrid.
Give
us the top five.
Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United, Spain, Man City.
We're better than Spain. How did that happen?
Not a clue.
I tell you, Ben Amos had walked into the Spain side.
And where were England again? Because we're
18th.
England are 18th.
One place below Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yep. Behind well. Benfica, Atletico Madrid, Dortmund, Porto.
Who's that?
Porto are up there.
We're above Tottenham though, aren't we?
I'm reading it upside down, leave me alone.
I like Spurs are in there at 24th.
Spurs are better than Croatia, so if
and
anything.
Portugal.
If anything, to be fair, then Modric should leave Croatia for Chelsea and not Tottenham.
Yeah, there you go.
But France in 34th. Republic of Ireland 48th, Korea 50th, Poland 80th.
Republic of Ireland are apparently the Montpellier of national teams, but I don't think Republic of Ireland would win the French league. If I'm on Sean St. Ledger, would not win the French league.
No.
Alright, that 2012 update, I like that. Talking about Poland as well, they're flying out for Euro 2012 from Heathrow, the team.
Poland?
Yeah.
Poland are.
It's a gag. Come on, guys. Lots of Poland.
You should have left it at that first.
I'm going to keep going.
It's
hit or miss. All right, Jay, why don't you say something funny?
What
you've got is a deep voice.
What is it?
Oh, he looks really upset with that. I like your voice.
What was the shower gel? Dark mystery or something?
Dark temptation. And both of them used it yesterday, so what?
Yeah. Oh, how you feel?
I wondered why you were walking a bit bow-legged.
Right, fellas, we've got 10 minutes. We're going to scoot through a little thing, so I'm going to throw it out there. Aston Villa. Who do you want as manager? Who's now the favourite?
Isn't he
favourite for the Liverpool as well?
Yeah. Rodgers
is favourite.
Martins
is favourite for Villa at the moment, but it's gone very quiet on our front, so I'm a little worried.
You mean there's not loads of press? Like, who's going to be the next Villa manager? It's not the headlines. I can't believe it, Jay. That's an outrage.
Even the Birmingham Mail is reporting on it. It's so. But yeah, it's gone really quiet. But I want Paul Lambert, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So.
I have to say, West Brom are close to appointing Ralf Rangnick, who, interesting fact about him, he obviously managed Schalke in the Champions League, he did very well, I think, at Hoffenheim, but he used to live and study in Brighton when he was younger, and he played for Southwick FC in the English non-league. So he has a bit of pedigree. Southwick is where my girlfriend's nan lives.
I think my old man works and used to play for Southwick.
Ah! We might bump into it. I go to the cricketers occasionally.
Anyway, you can carry on that conversation later. The Liverpool one, as you say, is now the Swansea manager is now favourite, correct?
Yeah.
Despite turning him down, because he basically, I think he's done it quite well.
Yeah, he's got a
And they've obviously now come back and said, right, we are
playing hard to get, isn't it?
But their owners are flying over. I think they might be flying over today or tomorrow, aren't they, mate? Alright, that's that done. Rangers, the transfer embargo has been lifted.
It has.
But apparently, the SPL clubs are going to go back.
Well, it's not the SPL clubs, it's FIFA, are now threatening to kick Scotland out of all UEFA competitions, all World Cup.
Rangers are in a dire state.
All World Cup competitions. Rangers are not going to be in the next World Cup.
Scotland are not going to be in the next World Cup.
Oh, what, because of Rangers?
Because of Rangers. So they're not, it's now looking like the SFA, unless Rangers can sort stuff out very quickly, might get thrown out
of
all
competitions.
Or Rangers could go under.
I'm going to be honest here. I don't know enough about the Rangers situation that I should. Sean, can I task you with finding out some information?
To be honest, I work for a Scottish newspaper. I read it every day. I should probably look into this a bit more.
All right, we'll go with Coxon on that one. Just come back to us. Probably not next week because we've got a special show next week. But the week after that, even if stuff's moved on, I just like, because I don't know enough about it, I like to be educated. So if you could do that for us, that'd be great. Italian players arrested for match fixing, including Domenico Crisp.
He's just been investigated. He hasn't been arrested.
Yeah, he's been dropped from the squad, hasn't he?
Because
he
was the only out of the squad to clear his name.
He was the only. Apparently, they walked into like their training camp, like the Italian training camp. Yeah. He was the only. He plays for
Zenit
St. Petersburg.
Wasn't Christian Vieri's name thrown about? about as well.
Well, there's been a few. Antonio Conte, the Juventus manager, has been, been investigated through time, I think, at Genoa.
Yeah, and it's a lot surrounding
there
Genoa.
Is, I think,
Stefano Mauri, the Lazio captain.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's Bonucci as well, who is in the Italian squad. I might have his name wrong. Who they reckon they're going to investigate, but he hasn't been dropped because they haven't formally done it.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Very controversial in Italy.
But they could have.
Giuseppe Scully, who we mentioned a few weeks back for confronting the ultras in Genoa.
Yes. Is he in there as well?
Yeah, exactly. We made that gag at the time as well, I think.
I better got a laugh then as well.
Yeah.
Is it continuity? Exactly, you've got to keep these things going. Running gags.
Yeah, he's been investigated as well.
Okay.
He's got massive links to the Sicilian mafia.
Yeah, let's not talk about that again.
We got away with that last time.
Don't mention the mafia.
We say Stuart Hall can't make it here. He's actually
We haven't seen him for a few days.
Yeah.
Well, not his head anyway.
I can see some bubbles coming out of the river.
We all just looked at the river. Oh no.
God bless Stuart Hall. They could have gone into Norton Bills in a week, but we'll wait. We'll see when they've been investigated. One person who could, potentially, is a Serbian player, Adam Lalic. Did you see this?
Yeah.
He's he's the one who got into a fight with his manager, isn't he, for sarcastically clapping.
Well, no, he's been dropped from the Serbian squad for not singing the national anthem.
Yeah, it's a big controversial, though. No, it's not, because the manager is a known racist.
Sincere Mihalovic, who racially abused
the Marks.
And Adam Lalic is a Muslim, and his
it's a bit deeper then.
Was although I'm proud to represent Serbia, United Serbia,
the national anthem's nationalist.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you take that back, Jim?
Yeah, I do take that back.
We're going to be doing a panorama on Jim.
I just saw that as long as we don't investigate the Roxy, then we're all right. I just saw
You've really just given us an opportunity there.
I just saw the biop, little bit of that. Yeah, so, yeah. Right, Dan. Have you read much of Baratelli's book?
I actually have read the first 50 pages.
Yeah?
And I read quite a bit of it on the tube this morning, and I'm actually loving it. It really has made me chuckle. I'm going to give it another week or so and get more out of it, and then come back with the proper points. It is really quite amusing. And it's just, as you can imagine, it goes through the whole season. It starts off in September and goes through for the whole season about his diary of what he's been up to. And it is quality. I'll give an update on that later on.
We'll come back to you on that one then. A couple of things from me. I'm going to be putting a blog up hopefully the start of next week, maybe the end of this week. I went to Strasbourg just to see some family at the weekend, and I ended up going to watch Strasbourg play. And the story is absolutely amazing, because Strasbourg are one of only three teams in France to have won everything in the French League. So they've won the title before, both French Cups, everything. In 1998, they beat Liverpool and Rangers on the way to play Inter Milan. They beat Inter Milan 2-0 at home, and this was the Milan team that had, Ronaldo, star-studded team. They beat him 2-0 at home. Unfortunately, they lost 3-0 away, but there you go. They're now in the 5th division of France.
Oh, blimey.
They're playing, it's a regional league, they're playing teams in the Alsace region, and the crowds get...
And they've still got a massive stadium.
30,000-seat stadium, of which there was 8,000 at the game I was at on Saturday. It was their last game of the season. They won the title. But yeah, financial irregularities and all sorts. But I bumped into a journalist, and he took me around and was in the changing room for the game on the pitch and whatever.
Amazing.
So I've got a load of photos and stuff, so I'm going to put that up. It was really interesting. So I'm going to cobble something together. The story's pretty amazing, obviously, of where they are now and where they how they got there and what have you. So I'll put that up. Sean, you notice this. Okay, this is...
How can you not notice it?
Well, This is... the guy's called David Squires, and it's at Squires_David, if you want to get him on Twitter. He's got a website...
What do I do?
It's brilliant. He's got a website. It's called thesunshineroom.com.
Right.
And it's basically... He does these sort of, graphics, and he's, an artist or whatever. This is just one I picked out.
He does these graphics, and he's an artist whatever.
Yeah. Well, he's articulate, as you
like. They remind me of the, cartoon strips that you get in, red-top newspapers. But they're much funnier, and they're obviously all football related. There's some brilliant ones of Abramovich on there with Carlo Ancelotti and stuff. Go on there. There's not that much on there because I know he's been busy, but he's adding new stuff at the moment. This is just one I picked out because I think you boys will like it. This is David's comment. I think I'm suggesting that Harry Redknapp has a scrotum under his chin, and within the folds of that scrotum can be seen the face of Arsene Wenger. And as you can hear from the podcast's reaction, it's very funny. And it's very, very good. So get on there. Again, it's thesunshineroom.com and follow him on Twitter, Squires_David. I saw him, someone else, I think it might have been Roast Beef that commented on it, and I've looked at it and I thought that is right up our alley. Yeah. Really good site. So have a little go on that for us. Anything else for anything else while we're there? Did you see Didier Drogba having left Chelsea? Then they've now retired the stretcher on the back of the programme. Yeah. So not a number.
One thing I did see actually this week, which is utterly ludicrous, is that some research commissioned by Manchester United's marketing department.
Yeah, the number of fans.
10% of the world's population are Manchester United supporters. I've had a look, and if you base it on average attendances in the Premier League, United have 10.8% of the attendance of everyone that goes to a Premier League game. So one
just home fans, we're talking.
This would be in theory, because obviously with away fans, it balances out across the countries. So 10.8%. But that's not taking into account the rest of the country. Obviously, there's a big thing in Asia, but it's ridiculous. You can't tell me that you're going to have a load of people in Mogadishu and 1 in 10 of those people support Manchester United, or in Mexico City, or in Siam.
I reckon actually you're naming these places. You probably do. Yeah. In Mogadishu.
It's only 1 in 70.
Right, guys, prediction time. Dan, you mentioned it earlier. No one went for penalties, unfortunately. In the last week, we were predicting Huddersfield versus Sheffield United.
I had a look at this, and I think me, Sean, and Jay should all get 0.33%. I'm technically on 0.83 of a mark now.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is just not give anyone a mark.
No! Yeah. No, I think it's much more funny if we all get percentages.
I'm sorry.
Definitely.
From last week, the closest anyone got was predicting that Huddersfield would win the game.
Three of
Sean
us.
Went for 3-2. Jay, you know, you went for Sheffield United, Jay. So it was Sean...
No, I didn't. No, Huddersfield, 2-1.
Did you? Oh, yeah, yeah, right, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it was Sean, Mike and Jay...
I still think I should get half a point for my ridiculous theory of 8-7 on penalties.
I think we should definitely break it down into 0.4 points.
So everyone gets a part of a point but me. Not agreed. We had a Facebook.
This is a podcast for the people run by the people.
Talking of which, the people have spoken. Firas, apologies if I'm not
sending. Can I just say, he's the same guy who said that I should have punched you when you were trying to wind me up about that. So I like Firas.
Yeah. And to be fair, I replied from the podcast saying that, yeah, you're right, he should have done. But
so now we come to our new segment.
easy. Anyway, can we get to what Farage said?
Yes.
He said, listen to the pod, and it sounds like romance is in the air from our little adventure on the bridge last week. What's with awarding 0.5 points, lads? Either 4 point or none. I like that. I reckon make the points more interesting, take points for the worst prediction. So, right, I've already agreed, we're not going to do 0.5 points from now on.
Right.
Okay. Do I get to keep my 0.5 points? Because this is a rule that's coming in afterwards. I will take it to the European Cup arbitration.
I tell you what, I will take one for the team. I will give you the point from last week. Because we were within a goal. If that happens again, then it's just a void, and everyone else is in the.
So now I'm on 1.3, right?
No, there's no half marks or point marks or anything.
Right,
so myself, Dan, and Mike are now all on 1 point.
Right. So can we say if it's a correct result, you get 3 points. If you get the exact result, you get the 3 points.
Okay, yeah. From now.
And from now on.
Yeah.
We're not when there's no football.
Even though I should have 3 points because I guess the correct bloody result.
Now we'll do it for the Euros as well. We'll pick a Euro game each week. And we'll take points off Stuart Hall if he ever gets them. How's that? That's a compromise for you, Firas, so I hope you've listened to us there. Right, quick one. England-Belgium. I'm going to go 2-1 England. Jay, can I have yours?
1-1.
1-1. Sean?
Both my scores have gone. I'll go...
You can do what you think the result's going to be.
3-2 again.
Jesus Christ. Dan?
I think it's going to be another cracking, high-scoring, high-tempo game. 1-0.
England. 2 England. England. Yeah, Mike.
2-2.
2-2 would be nice. I'd quite enjoy that. All right, we'll get Stu's, even though he's not here. We'll find him.
Stuart all said he thought it would be 4-3.
Oh, did he? Right, 4-3-2.
To Belgium.
Germany.
That's what I heard.
I will ask Stuart just make sure. And obviously, we'll pay respects in the river bed. He's where he is. Next week we've got a very special show, ladies and gentlemen. Friday the 7th.
For us, I don't know how special it will be for the listeners.
It will be drunken for the listeners.
So it's going to be. So it's not going to be a podcast Thursday.
No, it's going to be a podcast Friday night.
So a podcast Saturday morning.
Yes,
probably a podcast Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon.
We could maybe. Why don't we do a short show next week, 20-minute show, and then we supplement it over the weekend.
I'll be up for that. What else are we going to do Wednesday lunchtime?
Exactly. We will bring you a normal show, 83, and then on Friday night we're going to go and get absolutely bladdered to celebrate the start of the Euros, and it will be our end of season roundup show, and we'll do some Euro predictions, which you could laugh about.
Awards.
Yeah, we'll probably do some predictions of the games that are then taking place, and then we'll get them fabulously wrong as well. But we're going to be around in Soho. If anyone actually wants to join us, give us a tweet or give us an email, contact us somehow. Let us know, and we'll let know what pubs we're in. We're just going to basically just go to a load of pubs.
Go on a pub tour.
It's the first night of the Euros as well.
It is. So. And we're going to end up in the Roxy. And even Jay has said that he might turn up in the Roxy.
I will.
Jim Staples has been to the Roxy before. And it's
I think he went there on a school trip.
I think he did. And I'm going to leave that for next week because.
We'll talk about it on the Friday night.
We'll talk about it because and it'll be funnier, and I'll have a lot more a looser tongue.
And Simon Head is going to be joining us as well.
Ooh. So if you've got any complaints, turn him in person.
Yeah. No complaints, just hit him. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Don't hit him. No violence. Right. There's some blogs on the website at the moment. Nivea sent us some outtakes.
That's
brilliant. God knows how Nivea found out about us, but there we go. We put the special effects video up today, which is celebrations in special effects, which is fantastic.
Like Wojciech Szczesny playing the accordion.
I like the leak.
Yeah, what is that all about? Aguero de Silva carrying a leak.
It's a bit bloody graphic, the old Ian Wright one, isn't it?
Yes. Spurs fans are like, yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, go on the website. If you listen to the show now, it will be the blog immediately under the show that you're listening to.
Yeah.
So have a little go on there. Finally, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk is our email address. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Complaints, as we mentioned, to @SimonHead. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. Everything we do and a lot more that we don't put on the site will be through our Twitter account. And obviously visit us at www.footballpodcast.co.uk. We will see you next Thursday for a 20-minute special. And then Friday night, if you can join us, let us know. There we go.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Good book. How are you coming?